We're back.
We are.
And we are Ellen Thurston and Tom DiPietro. And we have guests, Ellen. Tell everybody who our guests
are. Yes, we do. We were talking earlier about the international dinner that's happening Saturday night at the First Presbyterian Church in its 15th iteration. And we're here with Karen Frischkoff, who's been behind this effort for years and years, and Martin Baumgold. And I don't know, Martin, what your involvement has been, but we'll find out, I hope. So this is the 15th year of the community potluck dinner called the International Community Dinner. And Karen, tell us, first of all, how it all started, if you would.
It started as a response to 9/11. Some of us, particularly at that time, in a little Columbia Greens organization, were appalled by the attacks and appalled by reactions around the country, and were very concerned that there was going to be a lot of suspicion and hostility directed towards particularly people from the Middle East, but maybe anybody living in our area.
Yeah.
So we had, and Martin, in fact, was involved at the very beginning as well, was kind of the leader of the Columbia Greens group at that time. We had a gathering up in the 7th Street Park for people to express their feelings about the attacks on the Twin Towers and also concerns about what the aftermath was going to be in this country. Had a big gathering there, and then after people had expressed lots of feelings, concerns, the Reverend Leif Erickson, who was pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, invited us, anybody who wanted to walk down the, four blocks down Warren Street to the Presbyterian Church and discuss further there what we might do locally. So probably, I don't know, maybe 30 people ended up walking down there, sat around some big tables that he set up for us in the church hall. And then it was actually he, Leif Erickson, who pointed out, you know, when people find it somehow easier to talk to one another around food, would you consider doing some kind of a meal and encourage people from all the different groups, ethnic, national, religious, political groups in and around Hudson to come together over food? So that's what we put together.
This was in the year 2001.
The actual dinner took place after the holidays. It was January 26th, 2002,
uh-huh,
when we were able to have everything in place and bring people together.
Martin, tell us what this group Columbia Greens was. I've never heard of it before.
Have you heard of the Green Party?
Oh, yes.
That's what it was.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That makes sense. Okay.
If I could just add, the main impetus behind this might have been a sense of, you know, political concern. It was also agreed upon not to bring politics into this kind of an event. And so right away, any concerns that I might have on a political level or any of the organizers were put off to the side in favor of eating together.
It seems to work. I'm a great believer in food as a way to bring people together. Mm-hmm. Were there people in the community that actually were fearful that they personally were going to be in some way attacked, or there were going to be suspicions about them?
Well, in fact, there was an event when some people, maybe Martin, you can, you know, recall the details of that. but when there was a man from which country? Pakistan. Could you
relate that? Oh, you mean the man who took a picture, yes, near the water treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He was a delivery person for Domino's Pizza, and he went and delivered a pizza to a local activist here who suggested that he come back with a camera and take a picture of the Catskill Mountains from up on top of the road where this person lived. I don't think I should mention him, but anyway, somebody got suspicious here was a different kind of a person than is walking down the streets normally, who is taking pictures. And so they called the police, and the police came and investigated. And then after they went to his apartment, they found out that he had been harboring an illegal alien. And they, to cut a long story short, sent him back to Pakistan.
Yeah, he was deported, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some effort to get him, you know, out of that situation, I know, but that's the only incident that I can think of that there was actually...
Right, me too. I certainly would not go so far as to say that our initiative with the dinner was the reason that there were not more difficulties. But, in fact, I think it was probably that most people in and around Hudson did not want there to be any kind of hate-filled response. They wanted to maintain a positive, open kind of atmosphere here. And so that certainly did continue.
I'm not very familiar with the migrant workers who are here. Are there a lot of migrant workers? I'm assuming they're here legally. That come to pick apples or whatever crops are needed in the fall. Are there many migrant workers?
I think there are a pretty good number, especially in both in the few remaining dairy farms and in the orchards. At the time, 2001-2002, one of the more visible groups in Hudson was people from Bangladesh who had been brought here by a businessman who had a button factory going in Hudson. And he employed them, mainly, I guess, men as well as maybe some women as well were employed there, but the whole families came. And for several years, a few years, that was a good source of employment. Then, I'm not sure what year, whether it was... I mean, it wasn't long after we started, maybe a year or two, maybe around 2004, when that operation closed. But the people stayed on, and they had come legally, and they were able to find work, not very high-level work. I know that for a few years, some of them were bused to a donut factory, maybe connected with Dunkin' Donuts in Albany, had to leave Hudson at 4 or 5 in the morning, by van, go up there, you know, do the baking and supported their families. Over the years, they have found a variety of small businesses and are pretty well-established members of the community. Their children, at the time we started in 2002, we had little kids running around underfoot and in the kitchen and having a good level of hilarity. And now I see in the Register Star and the Columbia paper these same young people excelling at the tech high school or going on to college, or, you know, the younger ones
right,
excelling in high school, at Hudson High School. So that community is definitely well-rooted and
That's
doing
right.
well.
I think there's a lot of underground, a lot of people who live underground here in this community who we don't see. You're asking about the Mexicans or the migrants, you know, working on the farms. We don't really see them that much. You know, there's a lot of Vietnamese who work in all the nail salons. We've asked them to come to the dinner. They really don't want to kind of get out of their comfort zone and come on down on the streets of Warren, on Warren Street. You don't really see all the different people who are helping to take care of us on a daily basis.
I didn't think about the nail salons because I've never been in one, so I don't know.
Yeah. And you said you assume that most of the migrant workers who come are legal. I don't know. Maybe that's a safe assumption, it may be that somehow, you know, they're able to get in through work contracts, short work contracts. I think that does happen with a lot of the local farmers.
In a temporary way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So what's going to happen Saturday night at the international dinner?
Well, for the last 10 years or more, we've been preceding the actual dinner with some kind of program, discussion, presentation related to some issue that's of interest to people, especially in the various migrant communities. For example, we had after the big earthquake in Haiti, we had a program on some of the restructuring efforts going on there, including a report by the owner of Sundog Solar in Chatham, who had gone down with one of our co-founders, the mainstays of the dinner, Carlene Murphy, back down to Haiti and had set up little solar charging stations and other operations there. This year, our focus is on the sort of twofold, the international refugee crisis relating to people coming out of Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, even Northern Africa, coming up into the Balkans, Greece, trying to find their way into Northern Europe, and hoping to have also some discussion of the ongoing migrant struggles in our own community. The person who's going to be providing most of the information about the international refugee situation is Carrie Naftali, a woman who is an experienced lactation expert, works with mothers and newborns, and this turns out to be a crucial need for families escaping from the war in Syria and other parts of that region, that many of them are young parents with children. And she mentioned one case, for example, of a woman who had to leave Syria 2 days after giving birth and ended up with this tiny newborn on a raft, and both the baby and the mother were in rather serious medical condition by the time Carrie was able to see them. She has been working until just about 3 days ago at a migrant camp set up in Macedonia, where people who had made their way previously to Greece are now being sent and put in basically big holding areas while the authorities decide, after processing them, whether they can let some of them continue on their path into Europe. When I spoke with her yesterday, she described a situation that basically it's like a great big parking lot. If you picture the parking lot outside of Walmart and Lowe's, an area about like that, right next to a big busy road, is housing something like 3,000 migrants, families with little children. A few of them, she said, are in pretty big tents that have been provided by the United Nations Refugee Commission. The great majority are in tiny makeshift tents that tend to blow away and don't keep out any rain. She's a person who has seen a lot, experienced a lot. She does have some ability to speak Arabic. And I think what she has to share just in her narration will be fascinating at the same time that it's extremely upsetting. She does also have some pictures on her cell phone, videos that we will be trying to show in a way that people can see as well as hearing her report. So it won't be it certainly won't be political. It will be a on-the-ground kind of human report from somebody who is dealing very directly with people going through right. this struggle.
So that will be at the beginning of the evening, and then that'll be at about starting 5:10, 5:15,
yeah.
And then at about 6 o'clock we'll sit down and eat food that has been brought by all kinds of different people who live here, hopefully representing their tradition a little bit, and then we'll have music, and hopefully we'll end with a nice big dance where we all get together and break a leg.
I know that the food is a big part of it, as I recall, and absolutely wonderful food.
Yeah, we do have a now tradition that the Bangladesh community prepares a big beef curried dish, which is delightfully spicy, and the Haitians prepare a big goat meat stew, also mildly spicy. And then that's, of course, supplemented by all of the dishes that people bring in from their own homes. I know one person who's, for a number of years, has prepared a kind of a, I guess, pollo con what? Chicken with rice, anyway, Spanish style. A number of people make sure that we've got lots of vegetarian dishes from a variety of cultures. We've had huge platters of latkes for a few years in a row now with sour cream, Russian borscht, Korean food, Chinese food, just a wide variety.
The Anglo-Saxons are not known for their cuisine.
Well,
fish and chips, I don't know.
Fish and chips, all kinds of good cabbage dishes, desserts, of course, apple pies. One year we had the ladies of the Episcopal Church in Hudson bring, oh, maybe a dozen homemade apple pies representing, hey, you know, what we think of as WASP Americans, maybe.
Sometimes it's not so much what you bring, but what you actually partake in, and rubbing shoulders with people who you might not usually rub shoulders with. So even if you're a WASP, Ellen, you don't necessarily have to bring something. You can come and enjoy.
I want, yeah. Thank you.
And we're not averse to your bringing along some bottles of fruit punch or cookies, because we all want desserts after these big dishes and something to drink. And, of course, since it's in the Presbyterian Church, unfortunately, we cannot invite people to bring wine or micro-brewed beer. Have to stick with fruit juices and that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Well, and you're going to have activities for children. I assume there'll be lots of kids there.
We usually do have a number, and we've got kind of arts and crafts projects that they can do at the tables. We have a woman who's an excellent singer and kind of specializes in helping children to join in musical activities.
About how many people come?
We've had, I guess, maybe roughly 100 generally. So from 75 to maybe 125 typically.
That's about the maximum that probably
that
fits
is
comfortably
true.
In
That's
the
right.
basement of the First Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm. People are free to stand and hold their plates, but they'd rather sit at a table.
I just want to add that some of the founders of this dinner also have had radio programs on WGXC. And since WGXC was started, it kind of has taken on the role of giving a voice to a lot of different nationalities. Hosniara has had a program on here. Carlene continues to have one. You know, and I think that's a wonderful thing from the radio station's point of view.
Thank you. And now we have a new restaurant that I haven't had a chance to try. It's a branch of the Red Curry restaurant in Red Hook. Apparently it's out on Fairview Avenue someplace. I don't know, but anyway, we've been wanting that kind of food for some of us for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the price is best at the International Dinner.
That's right. It is indeed. So, yes. Where do if people have questions, can they call you, Karen?
They can. Yep. My number is 672-7901.
672-7901.
Right. That's a local 518 number. I also wanted to mention that. We've got several groups that some people may be familiar with if they're interested in kind of coming deliberately to see or hear them. Operation Unite has had a Kumba dance and drumming organization that's participated pretty much every year, and that's now also kind of evolved. And they've added on hip-hop dancing, and we will have a group of younger people doing a demonstration of that. Pamela Badilla and her family have done the Diata Diata program. Andre Badilla died a few years ago, but the family is continuing with this. And it's actually often the Diata Diata together with Operation Unite that will help get people up from their seats and dancing and enjoying music near the end of the evening.
Oh, so that's when you're going to break your leg?
If I trip over myself, I just might.
Watch your step.
And we will definitely have performance for people to just kind of watch and admire by some of the young Bangladeshi girls who've done some traditional dance performance for us. And we've also had singers, both men and women, soloists from Bangladesh, which people find also very enjoyable.
Yeah, there's been, for the last couple of years, a Bangladesh festival down on the waterfront, and sometimes a fashion show, and I've seen those girls dance. It's really quite beautiful.
Very, very pretty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the event has been beautiful. It's visually often beautiful as well as musically beautiful.
I think the diversity is one of its strengths, and it was interesting. I was just listening to a radio program today having to do with how the Army feels that their strength comes from diversity too. And I hadn't really thought of that before. We kind of think that we're strong if we're all the same. But there's a lot of things to say to the positive about the more diverse a community is, the stronger it is.
It's certainly more interesting to be in a community with variety, mm-hmm. For sure. Is there anything else you would like to tell our listening audience?
Oh, just something that occurred to me a short time ago is the fact that Hudson has gained kind of a special name in the last couple of years, partly for the culture, the art, the sort of hipster spirit that's developed here for the last few years. And I think often people who come here and are walking up and down Warren Street on a weekend certainly are enjoying that. And I think it's kind of adds something if any of them are able to participate in this event and appreciate the other people who are here around them whom they may not see and probably are not going to get to know on their brief stays. That can be very, very enriching for all of us.
So there you have it, folks. 5 o'clock, First Presbyterian Church, corner of 4th and Warren, this Saturday night. And you just show up.
And bring food if you can.
And bring food if you can.
And willingness to talk to your neighbors.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Tom.
We've been talking to Karen Frischkoff and Martin Baumgold. And thank you so much. And thank you for organizing the dinner to begin with.
Thank you.